Some days it's not easy being a senior career executive in the federal government. Ill will reached a peak last summer at the height of the scandal in the Veterans Affairs Department, and that led Congress to enact legislation cutting the civil service protection of SESers at the VA anyhow. A couple of weeks ago, President Obama gave the SES a pat on the back, promising to make the service into how it was originally envisioned. So what will 2015 bring? Well, for some answers, we turn to David Dye. He's the director of Federal Human Capital Services at Deloitte and a former official at the Office of Personnel Management. Mr. Dye, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Tom, very nice to be with you. Thank you.
All right. So looking ahead to 2015, what do you think? Is it good or not so good for the SES?
Well, as you said, it's pretty challenging times for the federal environment, and I would say career senior executives are certainly no exception to that. But I'm going to be bullish and positive and say that all the attention that's been coming out in the last few weeks, I believe, are very positive. There's things around customer service awards. There's things around leadership development programs. There's new metrics coming in place. And I think when I roll it all up together, the life of a senior executive has been challenging. But I think these are opportunities for senior executives to play a very impactful role in inspiring the workforce of the future.
David, hi, good morning. It's Deborah Roth.
And hi, Deborah.
I'm co-hosting with Tom, and I was delighted to see that something near and dear, close to my heart, was up at the top of the hour. So I was wondering, though, from your perspective on the outside looking in, and you know, I'm a big fan of yours because you've been both on the inside out and the outside in. There's talk on the Hill that there may expand the SES appeal law that's currently in place for the VA to the greater SES. Do you see that happening? And if so, what do you think that's going to be? What impact do you think that will have on career senior executives?
Well, I don't know if I have an entirely correct crystal ball on that, but I guess I would say that I'm living in a world where I think a blend of accountability and motivation of the future workforce is an extremely important set of dual initiatives to get right. So I guess I'll leave it up to the administration and Congress maybe to work on some of those specifics. But, you know, the role of the future leader is one that's changing. It has been changing, and I think we're at a time where executives and government need to respond and appeal to what the future workforce is going to look like. There's some troubling statistics, Deborah and Tom. The number of government workers coming into the workforce, in the federal workforce, under the age of 30 is dropping.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a talent problem. And if we don't have an executive corps who can help attract and develop and find career and growth opportunities for people coming into government, I think we're going to have some real talent problems.
And what about the meeting that the president had a couple of weeks ago, which seemed, well, in my view, more a pat on the back necessarily than any real serious or deep reform? What kind of effect does that kind of meeting have on people that are charged with so much responsibility right now in the federal government?
Well, there's a number of initiatives going on, and I think some of those were obviously an opportunity for the president to speak specifically to the career senior executives, I guess. I think the proof's going to be in the pudding, Tom and Deborah. There are talks of an advisory group coming in to study the problem. I think one of the recommendations I would have to that group is, you know, trying to implement actions as quickly as possible. I think there's a lot of issues and recommendations that we're pretty familiar with, but I think action is going to be important.
Yeah, I agree with you, David, that there was a lot of talk. Tom views it as a pat on the back. His colleague, Francis Rose, wrote an article shortly after the president's I don't know what to call it, speech, meeting with the career executives. And he had a different view. And when you talk to career executives in the Corps, I think they're sort of split. They're split down the line about what the direction is of where the Corps is going, where it's been, and whether that was a positive motivator. But I do think that generally speaking, there are morale problems in the Corps. They do feel beat upon. And I think, David, that might really sort of affect their ability to really inspire that next generation to come on in.
Yeah, I would agree. And, Deborah, you and I have talked about this before. I mean, the word trust comes to mind for me, and I think trust can happen at so many different levels in government. Trust among leaders, trust among the politicals and the career service, I think it's just a really important opportunity right now. You know, this new idea of this performance metric, if you will, around employee engagement is one of the administration's initiatives. When I think about that, it's as much about motivating the workforce as it is looking how to evaluate the performance of executives. So I think executives are going to have to realize the world is different.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. I think this notion of trust right now in so many different circles is going to be so important.
We're speaking with David Dye. He's the director of Federal Human Capital Services at Deloitte. And since you have a foot, or at least a view, in both worlds, commercial and government, how different is the judgment of and performance requirements of SESers in the government? Is it deviating more and more from what is happening in the private sector?
Well, strictly from a data perspective, if you look at some of the numbers that come out looking at specifically morale of the workforce, the government's heading in the opposite direction of the private sector. The private sector numbers are going up. The gap between public and private sector around morale and the impact of senior leadership was its smallest about 2010, and now the gap's really increasing significantly. So whether that's economically driven or things the private sector has figured out in terms of how to crack the morale factor, maybe that's needs some further diving into the data. But I would say that the private sector right now has an advantage over government in terms of the role that executives are playing, at least from the voice of the workforce.
Yeah, no, David, I would agree with that. You know, and I think that just intrinsic in the roles between executives in corporate America and an executive in the government, besides pay, which is digits, I always say that to people, their pay are digits apart. And to talk about incentivizing career executives in the government with pay through performance, I think is just dead. There's not enough money in the system to incentivize performance. So how do you keep up morale and incentivize people? And I think there's a mystique that in the corporate world, it's all incentivized by money. And that to some extent may be true, but people feel very rewarded and they feel free to get their job done, you know, in corporate America. And I wonder to what extent, you know, not having or having that kind of overbearing oversight right now from Congress is what's impeding executives from feeling more free to think outside the box, get the job done. I think they feel very constrained right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess there's things you can control in your life and your organization that things you cannot control. And I guess if I'm a career executive, I'm going to think about the things I can control. And if I sort of take that mindset and think about, you know, pride in the work, pride in the mission, pride in having a workforce support me to do things maybe above and beyond what we've been able to do. And frankly, I think the workforce is demanding those kind of things. You think about all the things going on right now that hit the news, whether it's IRS or Secret Service or NSA. You know, people want to have an ability to have those distractions be minimized and sort of minimize the noise. And I think that's what leaders need to do right now, is help focus the workforce on the mission and realizing you can't control everything. But you're right. The executive, I mean, look, executives are people too. And they have needs. But I think at the end of the day, it's about how do we keep motivated? How do we build that trust? And how do we control those things that are under our control?
And I wanted to ask you about another proposal that came out of that meeting, and that is to reward senior executives for customer service. And I wonder sometimes if they lose sight of the customer service end of government because they're so enmeshed in the internal compliance and rule-bound issues of managing day-to-day that characterize the public sector.
Yeah, there's probably some truth to that. And I would say agencies, and even within agencies, people feel closer or less close to the customer, if you will. You know, one of the things that is going on in the Hill right now, it's a new subcommittee on government technology where we're spending a lot of time with some of our clients now, right now, looking at the customer experience. And I think there's ways, and I think the president's new program on customer service awards is something that would be in alignment with this, is how do we get federal agencies to develop ways to improve, I'll say, both the internal and the external customer experience? You know, we talked about customer service standards a few administrations ago. I was involved in that. And I think when you focus on it and measure it and look at ways to evaluate it and look at ways to share and collaborate on customer service experiences across agencies. That's going to be important. So I'm a big fan of getting people closer to the customer. I think it puts people closer to the bottom line when you can do that.
Yeah, and I also think the actually having a budget for the entire fiscal year is going to really free up executives to focus on the things, David, you're talking about.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
So given the all of what we've talked about, what would your best advice be to someone who aspires to be a senior executive in government? What would you tell people that say, should I do this?
Think about the reasons why you want to come into government. And I think we all know that it's typically about accomplishing some pretty significant things. I mean, in the work that I do with agencies, whether it's, you know, cyber or Ebola or Social Security, there's so many interesting, complex problems out there that require leaders who are talented, who are ready to motivate the workforce in order to do great things. And so I think it's a time where stepping into challenges where maybe you don't know all the answers, but beginning to develop your talents and skills as a leader to bring the best out in the workforce to solve big, hairy, complex problems. I mean, that's an inspiring incentive for me, and I would hope that there's many out there who would want to be a part of that.
David Dye is the Director of Federal Human Capital Services at Deloitte. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Tom and Deborah. Happy holidays.
And you too.